It is a Gaza Corner time, and I want to start by referencing a Gaza Corner I did a couple of weeks ago that spoke about the electricity being cut. I mean, you would think that when you only have 4 hours of electricity a day in Gaza, it couldn't possibly be cut more, but indeed it has been, to an hour and a half to 3 hours. And I was taken by a column written by the Israeli journalist Gideon Levy. I'm just going to read the first paragraph and the last paragraph. I think it's so powerful. The column headline is Israel's Experiment on Humans in Situations of Extreme Stress and Deprivation, subtitled One Experiment. What happens to 2 million human beings when they are deprived of electricity nearly all the time, day and night? The first sentence reads, one of the biggest experiments involving human subjects ever conducted anywhere is taking place right before our eyes, and the world is silent. The last paragraph, Gaza is dying slowly everywhere. Its suffering matters to no one. No one in Washington or Brussels or Jerusalem or Cairo, not even in Ramallah. Incredibly, there is evidently almost no one who cares that 2 million people are abandoned to the dark at night and to the sweltering heat of the summer days with nowhere to run and no shred of hope. Nothing. I think you care. I think we care. I know Mecca cares. Mecca is the Middle East Children's Alliance based in Berkeley. They do remarkable work, especially on behalf of children in Gaza. And they have a campaign that is still going on. They did meet the goal, but that doesn't mean that they can't surpass it, and surpass it by plenty if they can. It's called the Gaza Lights Campaign, and more money for Mecca for the Gaza Lights Campaign simply means more light for children in Gaza. We need to do what our government doesn't do. Our government provides the bombs that kill people in Gaza. We can provide light for people in Gaza. Go to meccaforpeace.org, MECAFORPEACE, meccaforpeace.org, and you will see a link for the Gaza Lights campaign. Also, it'll be on the playlist tonight. $91 gives one family a full Gaza Lights system for their home. It's a rechargeable, battery-operated system to power lights, fans, and phones for 12 hours. They've already raised over $18,000, which can provide light for more than 200 families. Let's do what we can and provide light in Gaza. Thank you. MeccaForPeace.org. The heart of a Gaza Corner tonight has to do with marketing. Marketing, really. Israel knows that to sustain its seemingly endless occupation, it must do all it can to win the battle of the narrative and improve its image abroad, especially with the upcoming Jewish generation in America. Israel already has an ongoing multi-million dollar annual budget for what's called Hasbara, which translates to essentially propaganda. But I'm referring to a separate project which is also financed generously. And it dates back to 2001, when a branding team for Israel was pulled together, including the involvement of the public relations global heavyweight Burson Marsteller. Eventually, the Brand Israel initiative was launched in 2006 to counter the growing movement for justice in Palestine and the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, campaign, which has grown in strength since its inception in 2005. At the time, the Brand Israel strategy was to create an image disconnected from the Arab-Israeli conflict and focus on Israel's very impressive scientific and cultural achievements. I mean, it is a high-tech mecca, for sure. Given the increasing strength of the Palestine Solidarity Movement and BDS on college campuses in the United States, students became a primary target of Brand Israel. A June 21st article in the Times of Israel, a newspaper based in Israel, which is linked at the playlist and also at the Tangents website, the headline reads, Devastating survey shows huge loss of Israel's support among Jewish college students. It's subtitled, Brand Israel Group Raises the Alarm on a Widening Gap in the United States Between Older Supporters and the Increasingly Pro-Palestinian Next Generation. The article states, Brand Israel commissioned two large studies, one in 2010 and one just last year. It conducted an online survey in September and October of 2016, which sampled 2,600 Americans among a wide range of demographic groups. For anyone critical of Israel policies, the downward slope of Israel support is heartening. The co-founder of what's called the Brand Israel Group, or the acronym BIG, her name is Fern Oppenheim. She was recently in Israel to present the findings of the 2016 study called, quote, Sounding the Alarm, the American-Israeli Relationship, unquote. And she repeatedly used the word devastating when describing the group's findings. This is a very pro-Israel marketing group. The report concludes the current Israel advocacy programs are not working, and Jewish college students in America are the leading defectors from Israel's support. Quote, the future of America no longer believe that Israel shares their values. The 2016 study shows that the current campaign of depicting the Israel beyond the conflict, specifically highlighting, you know, high-tech achievements, is not effective. In fact, the more the study participants know about Israel, the less favorable they feel about Israel. The key, according to the report, is to emphasize common values. Quoting Brand Israel Group, quote, shared values have been the bedrock of the American-Israeli relationship. Without this connection, the future of the alliance is in jeopardy, unquote. However, as pro-Israel advocates emphasize, shared values between the United States and Israel, this report reveals that fewer and fewer Americans actually think they believe the same things as Israelis. And the biggest value gap is between core Israel supporters, basically older, wealthy, right-wing Republicans and evangelicals, and the groups that like Israel less. And it's the mirror image. Women, liberals, millennials, and ethnic minorities such as African Americans and Latinos. And those at-risk population groups are all growing. The picture is more alarming for Israel when you look at the next generation of potential Jewish leadership. Between the 2010 and 2016 surveys, Jewish college students dropped 27 percentage points on the question of whether they lean towards the Israeli side. This is explained, according to Brand Israel's Fern Oppenheim, because of a perceived lack of shared values between the ultra-liberal Jewish college student and Israel. Quote, the Jewish college student is the only group more favorable to Palestinians, rising 18 percentage points between 2010 and 2016, she said. In terms of practical solutions, Oppenheim suggested indoctrination at an earlier age by exploring ways to connect bar and bat mitzvahs to Israel. In other words, brainwash him as early as 13 years old and also increase the number of people who visit Israel, especially through programs such as Birthright Israel. You know this program? It's a program which currently provides 45,000 young Jewish adults annually an all-expense-paid 10-day trip to Israel, of course, avoiding the occupied territories. Birthright Israel was initiated in 1994 and founded in cooperation with Charles Bronfman, among others. And let me share this disclaimer. I received a significant academic scholarship from a Charles Bronfman College Fund to attend New York University. I would love to meet Charles Bronfman someday and thank him for financing my education at New York University and then share my critical views of Israel. That would be really cool, probably not for him, but for me. Regarding the Birthright program, all you need to know is ultra-Zionist billionaire, that's with a B, billionaire and mega Trump supporter Sheldon Adelson has donated over $250 million as of February 2015 to this youth indoctrination program. But even Sheldon's casino money cannot blind a new generation of Jews to the truth. To quote journalist Ben White, Israel is increasingly unable to maintain a regime of ethno-religious exclusion, apartheid separation, and colonial violence without paying a price, unquote. That comes from a 2010 article by Ben called Behind Brand Israel, Israel's Propaganda Efforts. Israel's crisis of shared values with America's next Jewish generation is not solved by more free trips to Israel. The values will only align when Israel ends the occupation. There is no other solution. Until that time, the values rift will only grow. I'd like to play an American who visited Israel and Palestine and had a profound experience. His name is Joshua Davis. He has an album called Miracle of Birds. In 2012, he joined a nonprofit called On the Ground for the Run Across Palestine, and it was a life-changing journey for Joshua. The focus of the five-day, 129-mile ultra marathon was to raise money and awareness in support of fair trade olive farming communities in the Palestinian West Bank. To quote Josh, he said, the stories and songs on A Miracle of Birds, released 1 year after the run, are honest expressions of my experiences in the West Bank, colored by my own unique history and upbringing. I'd like to play the song Waiting on the Dove. This is Joshua Davis on 91.7 Gaza Corner.
I went looking for answers that couldn't be found. Set an uneasy pace on that uneven ground. Between the downtrodden and the blood of my blood. Why do I keep waiting on the dove? Between the rubbish and the rubble, there's no place to hide. Trust and trouble can't walk side by side. Why is it the ladder that seems to fit like a glove? Why do I keep waiting on the dove? Oh, so many people looking out for their own, with tear gas and plate glass, with slings and with stones. There's no room to breathe, the it's hard not to shut. Why do I keep waiting on the dove? Yeah, I'm clinging to something too tight to drop it. These tears keep a-coming. Nothing seems to stop it, and every drop just adds a little more to the flood. Why do I keep waiting on the dove? And houses ripped out. I put names to the faces in these crumbling towns. I see sorrow so deep, but there's laughter and love. Why do I keep waiting on the dove? I've seen people caught on both sides of war. Must one side rise and another side fall? Can there only be peace when one side is silenced in blood? Now why do I keep waiting on the dove? I'm flying home with the leaf clutched in my hand, and maybe a sign. There's no sign of dry land. The water keeps rising, and there's nothing but darkness above. Why do I keep waiting?